The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
We welcome you back. The second half of the program is live, and we are 1 hour away from a press conference in Los Angeles on the Tiger Woods crash. He is currently in surgery, for those who are just joining us. According to officials, it is not life-threatening, but it was still a jaw-dropping scene to see his car after having rolled over, apparently, after hitting a curb and then running into the median. We will definitely update you as we move throughout the program, as we have been doing for the last 2 hours. David Ubben is joining us now from The Athletic. We've talked to David many times in the lead-up to Jeremy Pruitt's dismissal, and obviously since Josh Heupel has been on the scene. David, thank you very much for the time. It's good to have you on. And first of all, how are things in Knoxville? The last time we checked with you, things were not going well.
Well, they're calmer than they were the last time you checked with me, so that's normal. I mean, some people have gotten hired. Nobody's gotten fired. So, hey, that's progress around Tennessee. Relatively speaking, it's been quiet, but still a pretty busy time of the year here on Rocky Top.
David, go over the staff hires for Coach Heupel, because there are some pretty interesting ones on the list.
Yeah, I mean, on the offensive side, a lot of carryover from the UCF staff, and then obviously Cody Burns from Auburn, who was headed to UCF and has followed him, but you've got Glenn Ellerbe, who followed Josh Heupel from Missouri to UCF. So he'll be coaching the offensive line. Alex Golish is OC, even though Josh Heupel will be calling plays. Defensively, though, sort of a long and winding road to find Tim Banks from Penn State, a guy that has, been around quite a bit, a lot of co-coordinator experience. They paid a lot of money, again, seven-figure coordinator to bring him down to Rocky Top. And he still put his defensive staff together. Looks like Brian Jean-Marie will be here. It's been sort of an interesting go-around for Tennessee to put together this staff. But I think there's only two spots left there. The offensive staff will be pretty interesting. Jerry Mack, a former head coach, will be coaching the running backs. He's an interesting hire. And then Joey Halsley, of course, followed him as well from UCF. He'll coach the quarterbacks. He played for him at Oklahoma. And they've been in the same meeting room for 13 years. Took some time out to be in the private sector. But on the offensive side, it's going to be a lot of carryover from what they did at UCF.
David, other than the fact that he had just been hired, was on the staff, and had a buyout, was any consideration, to your knowledge, given to retaining Kevin Steele?
Well, that depends on how we want to define consideration, right? I mean, I think certainly that option was discussed. I don't think that it was really ever going to be something that was serious. I think, philosophical differences there. Obviously, a guy that has deeper ties to Tennessee than Josh Heupel does. He doesn't really have a lot of connection to him. I'm sure Josh Heupel is not naive. He saw how things went down at Auburn. I can imagine if you're a head coach, that might make you a little uncomfortable, especially for a guy that you don't really know that well. So, consideration, sure. Was it ever going to happen? Not from the day that Josh Heupel got hired did it sound like retaining Kevin Steele was going to be a realistic scenario. He's still technically on staff, I guess, but they haven't really been talking, and there hasn't been a lot of discussion there. I think both of them know how this will go, but they're still finalizing the defensive staff, and when they do that, I think if Kevin Steele is included, I would be floored. But I imagine Kevin Steele will be spending 2021 coaching at Buyout University, which, is hiring a lot these days and is a really positive experience.
Speaking of Buyout University, I've lost track with how much he has gotten, but I haven't lost track with how UCF did off of Tennessee's coffers. I'm trying to remember. You help me here. How much they got? A couple of million from both Heupel and Danny White, did they not?
Yeah, six from Heupel and White combined for those two guys. I need to brush up on my contract skills for the assistants. I'm not sure how much there was on the assistants. I can't imagine it was a ton. But yeah, you start adding all this up, the $6 million there, you know, it certainly adds up in a hurry. There's a lot of, you know, you still got to finish up, you know, figuring out what the defensive staff will look like, and those are still some things there. But I mean, hiring a coaching staff is going to be expensive. Hiring a new AD obviously can get expensive, especially when you take a big swing like Danny White. And you know, Tennessee is learning that at the moment, but you know, they've had plenty of chances to learn that over the last decade. This is not their first rodeo. And you talk about running back you, linebacker you. Tennessee certainly has a case to be buyout you at this point.
Speaking of another man who I don't know how you would characterize his exit, whether you know, he was just given a golden parachute, a here's the money, get out of here. But have we heard anything in the last month from Philip Fulmer?
Not a ton. Fans not real pleased in general. You know, it was an awkward exit. Obviously, the extension, you can never sort of expect that things were going to careen so hard and really just go from riding high to where you're making a coaching change. But still, he's bidding against himself. I mean, that sort of situation that essentially doubled Jeremy Pruitt's buyout and kind of helped put Tennessee in the situation that they're at now has caused some consternation among fans. But ultimately, you know, they're going to call it a retirement. The money that he got was pretty much exactly the kind of money that he would get had he been fired. But I haven't heard much from Philip Fulmer. I think at this point, you know, he knows the last year didn't go well, didn't reflect well on his tenure as athletic director, and there's not much to say. I mean, the simplest way for Tennessee to get out of this situation is don't give a coach a buyout coming off give a coach an extension coming off an 8-win season that featured a loss to Georgia State when no one was coming to get Jeremy Pruitt. It didn't really make sense at the time, but it was also kind of a small raise, and you know, you just don't see things playing out like this, but you also, you know, don't bid against yourself. I mean, I've said it 1,000 times. I'll say it again. The most lopsided rivalry in college sports is agents versus athletic directors, and Tennessee learned that again in 2020.
David, before you go, and this is a question I'm sure you'll be answering for some time, but since we have you here, where is the NCAA investigation right now?
Your guess is as good as mine. I mean, the internal investigation is still not done yet. So, you know, the NCAA, I don't imagine their investigation is going to be, you know, that much more comprehensive than what Tennessee has done. I mean, Tennessee has done a lot. I mean, they started this in mid-November. We're sitting here 3 months later, and Tennessee is still not done. It sounds like it'll be done soon. I think by the end of the year, you'll probably see Tennessee self-impose some sanctions. And then the question is, what does the NCAA decide to do? You know, obviously, with their law firm, they can get a pretty good feel for what to expect in terms of sanctions and what would be accepted by the NCAA and how much transparency can help them. But, Paul, you know as much as anyone, it's a fool's errand to try and guess what the NCAA does. Because when it comes to sanctions like these, they don't follow precedent. It just seems like they're kind of pulling, you know, names and numbers and penalties out of a hat. You just don't really know. I think certainly Tennessee is bracing for scholarship reductions and at least a one-year bowl ban. But if they can get out of there with a one-year bowl ban, I think they'll be thrilled, especially considering the state of the roster and what 2021 looked like. You know, when you look at the transfer portal, it feels like Tennessee's already sort of self-imposed a bowl ban. It's going to be tough in 2021 for the Vols.
Yeah, I saw it yesterday. Did I read it correctly? 25 Tennessee players at least were in the portal at one time, and where are they all going?
Yeah, it's sort of a complicated number, right? Because you know, you had guys kind of go in, and do you count midseason guys? And you know, I think the best way to sort of, and there's some walk-ons in there, and does that kind of affect you? I think the simplest way is if you took the depth chart from Tennessee's season finale, which doesn't include their kicker, by the way. He opted out in the middle of the season. But that season finale depth chart against Texas A&M, 11 of those guys left, and 7 of those guys are already at other Power 5 schools. And, you know, that's a lot of talent that's left. I mean, Wanya Morris, Eric Gray, Key Lawrence, are all at Oklahoma. That's a big talent drain. They've still got Henry To'oto'o, their best defensive player, and Quaveris Crouch, a one-time number one overall recruit, also still in the portal. They're trying to keep those guys. Odds don't seem great, but you never really know. And we'll see kind of as the defensive staff comes together. So the numbers are kind of, it's tough to really feel exactly what the impact will be, but when I was looking at it and writing about it, that 11 number, I mean, that's a quarter of your depth chart that should be on the team in 2021 that is elsewhere and going to be playing college football wearing another logo and another jersey, another color in 2021. And Tennessee's going to feel that.
Always great to have David Ubben on from The Athletic. David, thank you. Talk soon. Always appreciate it.
Thank you, Paul. Anytime. Appreciate it.
Great stuff. Fantastic conversation there with David, and we will take a break. Still more to come on what has turned out to be a very busy Tuesday afternoon. We will get to your phone calls.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We are back, and we're glad you're with us here on a really interesting afternoon. Ross Bjork joined us in the last hour. I promised you we'd get back to the calls. And we are going to do that right now. John is in Wisconsin. John, thank you, and good afternoon.
Mr. Feinbaum, can you hear me?
I can. You sound wonderful.
Oh, great. Well, I'll give you background information in 10 seconds. I'm from Biloxi, Mississippi. And I understand that Tiger Woods had the accident today. My thing is that he needs a personal driver. He has a substance abuse problem. I went to Meharry Medical College and Vanderbilt Medical College dually, got an MD, PhD. My thing is Tiger needs to get a personal driver like he has a caddy. He needs somebody to take care of him because apparently something's not right. It's not snowing there like it is, was here in Milwaukee yesterday. He needs a personal driver. I'm finished.
Neither one of us, you understand what I'm about to say. We don't know what happened today, but you're right. And first of all, I've spent a lot of time in LA in the last 2 years. And I mean, I'm not a good driver in Milwaukee or Memphis. Driving in L.A., it's a treacherous place to drive. I mean, the interstate is, we're talking about the 10 is eight lanes across on each side. The hills, whether it's Beverly Hills or where he was today or Hollywood Hills or any of the neighborhoods. I mean, it's like a roller coaster ride. And I'm not making excuses. I'm just telling you, it's one of the toughest. I mean, New York City driving is a whole different animal. But you're not usually going very quick. You're not going very fast out there. You are going fast.
Correct. I lived in Bedford-Stuyvesant.
Sure.
For 2 years. Years ago. I understand. My thing is this. I went to Big Sur in 2019 in October, before the pandemic hit.
Right.
I was on 101 going south to Big Sur.
Oh yeah.
I drove the speed limit at 5 o'clock in the morning. Something is not right here. We'll find out in 3 days. but Tiger needs a personal driver. I'm staying by that.
No, I hear you, John. I appreciate it, and I agree with you. Thank you very much for the call, by the way. I can't remember what I mean. When you fly west to east, you're getting to LAX at ridiculously early hours. I was out there before the pandemic, and I think I had, you know, like a 5:15 a.m. flight. So, I mean, you don't take a chance like you would in a smaller city. And I think I left my hotel at 3:30 in the morning or something. And it was already the interstate was already pretty crowded. I mean, when you got near the neighborhood to LAX, I mean, things just stopped. I mean, that's 4 o'clock in the morning. I mean, I've driven to LaGuardia countless times. I would go there every week over the last couple of years, and up until about 6:30, you're not really going to run into much traffic. I mean, you can get there lickety split. It's a tough town. I have no earthly idea what happened to Tiger today. I don't. But we'll find out. And most important, we hope he recovers. Thanks for the call, Doc. Appreciate it. Let's check in with Lewis in Louisiana. Hello, Lewis. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you, y'all. I'm 87 years old. I talked to Paul about a year ago concerning Coach Wade,
right,
LSU basketball. And I need to know, I have the highest respect for Paul, and I enjoy the show every day.
Thank you, Lewis.
Anyway, just wanted to find out what he thinks about LSU basketball men's winning the SEC tournament.
Well, thank you for the call. I think LSU's playing really good basketball right now, and you know, I'm not sure winning the tournament is a little bit of a roll of the dice, but they are clearly in the NCAA tournament with the most recent win, and I think they're in good shape. You know, 4 seed somewhere in that area, maybe a little higher, maybe a little lower depending on the last 2 weeks. The conundrum with Will Wade is impossible to answer. And, you know, the controversy is now almost 2 years old. It still has not been resolved. You know, LSU went to the tournament 2 years ago, of course, without him. You know, this year they'll go with him. Last year we didn't have a tournament. And I think until the NCAA resolves that case, his future will remain unknown. But thank you for the call. I appreciate it. And you take care of yourself. Let's move along to Cooper, who is in Missouri. Hello, Cooper.
How are you doing, Paul? I called yesterday.
Good to have you on.
Yes. I'm just wondering, do you think Missouri basketball has any chance of winning the NCAA or the SEC basketball tournament and making it far in the NCAA tournament?
I think the chance of winning the SEC is not very high, And Cooper, you know the reason for that. They're not consistent, and I mean they can look like a Final Four team one day, and you know just look erratic the next. So that concerns me about a long run of the tournament. Either. What about you? Do you agree or disagree?
Yeah, if we don't have Jeremiah Tillman, I don't think it's going to be good at all. You could just tell by the last couple of games they played terribly. I just didn't know just because it seems like when they're the underdogs, they just blow them out of the water. But besides that, I don't know.
One thing I will say about Missouri, Cooper, is somewhat comical, but they are entertaining. I mean, they can have a, 15, 20-point lead and managed to take the game down to the wire like they did with Alabama, or they can, who was it? Was it TCU? I can't remember the Big 12 game when they were way down.
Yeah, it was TCU, and I think that happened to Mississippi State. They were winning by 16,
right,
or maybe even 20-something. I can't remember, and they lost that game. So, yeah, they're inconsistent, and the three-point shooting, they need help because Mark Smith, for some reason, hasn't been shooting really well.
Well, I've said this and I'll continue to say it. I really am an enormous fan of Konzo Martin. I like what he's done there. I'm glad things are finally tilting in the right direction. So I hope they have a good run. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. We will continue with more of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. Those last two calls came at an opportune time because we're going to shift to a basketball guest in a minute with Damian Fishback to take a look at what's on the hopper tonight with the SEC schedule. Fish will join us next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We welcome you back. An update at the top of the next hour on Tiger Woods from the L.A. Sheriff's Department, but things are looking a little bit better than they were when we first heard the news. He is still in surgery. There is still basketball tonight. Damian Fishback here, and it's always great to have you on, Damian. But before we get to tonight's basketball, I feel like the entire world is talking, rightfully so, about and praying for Tiger Woods. And as a former athlete, as someone who is in the media, I'm just interested in your thoughts as we all wait for the next report from L.A. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Paul. Always great to be on your show. And Tiger Woods incident actually really hits home with me. I'm not sure if a lot of people know this, but Auburn's coach, Marquise Daniels, my former teammate, had an accident where he had to be pulled out of a vehicle and flown in a helicopter to UAB. And he has recovered. He is back up. He even dunked the basketball not too long ago. So even though our thoughts and prayers are with Tiger Woods, it's something about being in tremendous shape, you know, having that drive and being accustomed to rehabbing and fighting that usually gives athletes an advantage. And my thoughts and prayers are with Tiger Woods and his families, and I'm believing that he'll come out of this even stronger.
We appreciate you saying that, and certainly the best of Marquise. We all remember him very, very well. Damian, we'll save Alabama and Arkansas for the end. That's tomorrow night. But let's talk about what's at stake tonight with some very – every game is important right now. We're down to the last couple of weeks. What stands out tonight?
Well, Paul, I've got the Missouri Ole Miss game. And what stands out to me about that basketball game is when I look at Joe Lunardi and his seeding, I'm curious to see how Missouri responds. Missouri is a team that has knocked off what Joe Lunardi now has currently as the number 6 seed in Alabama, the number 5 seed in Illinois, and knocked off the number 21 seed in Tennessee. So this is a Missouri team that I think actually mirrors a lot of those teams in the Big Ten, but they're going to be tested tonight because Ole Miss, a team that took their first loss against their rival in Mississippi State, is going to be hungry. Coach Kermit Davis is an excellent coach. He's going to have his team ready. And so I'm anxious to see how those two teams come out tonight. And I think that's going to be a huge game because if Ole Miss can win out, they get back in that conversation very quickly. We've seen the run with Duke in the ACC. And if Missouri can win out, then I think they move up that seeding line very quickly as well.
I know it's water under the bridge, but, you know, fans want to know, how can we, meaning Ole Miss fans, lose a game that we had to win against a team that's probably not going anywhere? And that's basketball, though, isn't it?
Well, that's basketball in the SEC, Paul. You know, when you look at this Mississippi State team, they're a team that continues to get better. They're just in a very good conference. We talk about the SEC. Think about LSU. LSU's up with 12 points against Texas Tech. Now, I know Texas Tech went down to Oklahoma State last night, but they're up and basically give that game away. Darius Days goes down. If they don't lose that game, then the SEC wins the Big 12 Challenge 6-3, and everybody's pretty much agreeing that the Big 12 is the second-best conference in the country behind the Big 10. What that tells you is there's outstanding basketball in the SEC right now. In Mississippi State, they had some tweaks by multiple Final Four coach in Ben Howland. They went with a bigger lineup. They're continuing to improve, and that's what happened. Ole Miss just got caught, and more importantly, Devontae Shula just struggled from the field that night. And wasn't able to play a very good game. And Ole Miss goes down to a good team in Mississippi State.
Let's move on because certainly Florida is another team that is seemingly in good shape but has had a pause. What do you see there?
I love the Florida Gators. Now, Coach Mike White is not going to receive Coach of the Year because of the job that Coach Conzo Martin and Nate Oates has done. I like Nate Oates as a potential national Coach of the Year. But losing the preseason player of the year, Keontae Johnson, and performing as the Florida Gators have done after that circumstance and that situation has been phenomenal. I like the Florida Gators. We talked about West Virginia and that win. Well, they're the 10th-ranked seed right now, according to Joe Lunardi, and Florida went on the road and beat them. Florida has been up and down. They're dealing with the loss of Andrew Nembhard, who went to Gonzaga. But they're a team who I think is versatile. They can play with the big lineup. But they're going to have a tough task tonight. I think this Auburn team is going to be hungry. Coach Bruce Pearl's teams typically get better, and they don't have postseason play. And so every chance they get to play against a tournament-worthy team, as Florida is going to be an outstanding opportunity for the youngest team in college basketball.
LSU seems to be on a roll. They're up against Georgia, which has a couple of very impressive wins on its resume so far, so I'm sure that's a concern too.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Well, listen, LSU, first of all, Tom Crean has done an incredible job. He loses the likes of Anthony Edwards, the number one draft pick. We all see how good Anthony Edwards is with the Minnesota Timberwolves. What does he do? He gets in transfers. He develops those other guys that come back to Monty Kamara, Sahvir Wheeler, and puts together a nice product. So I like the pace at which they're playing, but they do struggle defensively. And so LSU is a team who I don't believe you can outscore. I just don't. I think they've got four monsters that are phenomenal. When you talk about Javonte Smart, Darius Days, Trenton Wofford, and Cam Thomas, you can't find a better four in the country unless you go to maybe Gonzaga or Baylor on the offensive end. And so I think they have a tall task, but it's a very winnable game because they can get up, they can score points. But they're going to have to guard tonight, and that's a difficult task when you're playing the LSU Tigers, who are getting better, Paul. They're getting better every time they step in between the lines.
And let me look ahead to late tomorrow night, and it's very possibly it may be the game of the year so far in the Southeastern Conference. So we thought it was Alabama and Missouri a couple of weeks ago, but you have Alabama going to Arkansas. Two teams that clearly have a long run in the NCAA tournament on their mind, and two of the best coaches.
Yeah, I really love both of those coaches, Coach Eric Musselman and all his creativity to make sure that he keeps his guys on the edge of their seat and keeps them motivated. Let's remember, Coach Eric Musselman had a nice run last year if it wasn't for Isaiah Joe being injured. Arkansas is a dangerous team in the fact that they can play multiple ways. They can play fast. And even when you slow them down now, they have Smith on the interior with Connor Vanover, which can actually mirror. They're not as good as a Michigan right now, but they can mirror a Michigan-type team in the fact that they have big guys who are mobile but also can give you back-to-the-basket presence. That's why I like this matchup for Alabama, because in order for Alabama to win a national championship, and they can win a national championship, they're going to have to be able to play both styles, teams that may slow you down, guys that are bigger than them, that cause them to gain rebounds. And that's what I'm anxious to see against Alabama. And please tell your Alabama viewers, I was talking to a guy today, Paul Steinbaum, and he said, are we pretty good? Are we good this year? And I said, we're sixth in the country. And he said, oh, we're just sixth? Talk to me when we get number one. Tell the Alabama fans, man, they're good enough to win a national championship. They ought to be excited.
Damian, I was doing a show in Birmingham, as you know, and I think Mark Gottfried was at Alabama for 8 years, and he came within one game of the Final Four. And during his final year, I had callers calling him Mike Gottfried, who was his uncle, and he was a football coach.
I guess you just put it in Birmingham, Alabama terms to me. I get it.
Damian.
Hey, listen, it is huge. Let people know that their team's good enough. And I know the SEC, many people judge on national championship. I think a national championship can come out of the league this year. They're not there yet, but it can come out of the league.
Always great to have you on. We will be watching tonight, and come back soon, Damian. Thank you.
Love being on here. Thank you, Paul. Have a great day.
You got Damian Fishback, and of course, Kentucky fans were hoping to see the Cats tonight. But as Ross Bjork told us earlier, they had come back after A&M had come back after a pause, and then one more positive shut down this game. It's too bad because Kentucky has been playing extraordinarily well lately. We will take a break. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. An update on Tiger at the top of the hour. And we are back after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And the entire world reacting this afternoon to the tragedy involving Tiger Woods. Alex Rodriguez praying for my brother Tiger Woods as we all anxiously await more news, thinking of him and his entire family. Justin Rose also wishing his fellow golfer the absolute best. We mentioned Justin Thomas broke up at a press conference earlier today when the news broke about Tiger Woods. And Bryson DeChambeau, another one of the top golfers on the PGA Tour, offering his best wishes as well. It has been that type of an afternoon, eerily reminiscent of the Kobe Bryant day exactly a month ago tomorrow. You know, the difference there, of course, you know, both being in LA, is that Kobe's helicopter had a number of people on it with him, including his daughter. Tiger was alone in a car. He was out there for first of all for the Riviera tournament, the Genesis on Sunday, where he is the host. He was also doing a shoot with Golf Digest. So for those watching on television, we'll show you the video of what happened, of what turned out to be the end result of his car, which apparently hit a curve and then a median and then flipped over several times this afternoon. He was airlifted from there to a local hospital where we understand he is still in surgery. There are reports that it was a compound fracture, multiple leg injuries, which would be terrible anyway. Speaking of compounding, he's just recently recovering from back surgery. He was hoping, he told Jim Nantz on Sunday, to be able to play in the Masters in early April, but it was not certain. In fact, it was pretty much up in the air, and now this. But we hope to get an update at the top of the hour. Certainly the entire world has been reacting today, and we will include your phone calls if you have a thought in just a moment at 855-242-7285. It's been a fairly busy show on top of that, and I know many of you, or if not all of you, are distracted trying to keep up with the latest. There has not been a lot of news in the last couple of hours. The story broke about 2:45 Eastern time, even though the crash occurred in the 7 a.m. hour, which is the 10 o'clock hour on the East Coast. It just took a while. It took quite a few hours for people to realize what was going on. First of all, it took a long time to get him out of there and then airlifted. And then, you know, obviously, the paramedics began discussing who it was. They have now said he was responsive. Earlier, the reports, as always, were far worse. But it looks like things are going a little bit better, but again, you don't know. All you can do is hope and obviously pray for his recovery. Back to your calls right now at 855-242-7285. Oh, by the way, before we do that, I apologize to the callers. We talked to Mark Schlabaugh earlier today. Mark Schlabaugh, of course, the outstanding ESPN reporter, normally covers college football, but he's been covering this story as well, and this is what he told us.
Mark Steinberg, his agent, sent out a statement saying that Tiger was in surgery for two leg injuries. I was told by a representative of the L.A. County Fire Department a little while ago that he had to be extracted from the windshield of that vehicle with the jaws of life and was transported to UCLA Bay Harbor Hospital, where he's undergoing surgery. The injuries are not life-threatening, but talking to a couple of PGA Tour players, They do fear that they are significant. Well, all we know is it was a single car accident. He hit the center median and went across the other lanes, and the car appeared to have flipped over a couple of times. If you saw the video footage, it was on its side. There was significant front-end damage. I know police are looking at traffic cameras to see if there was another vehicle or an animal or whatever that you know, might have caused this accident, but I saw a police spokesman or a sheriff's department spokesman say that is an area where you can gain significant amount of speed and that his car did appear to be traveling at a high level of speed.
So that was Mark Schlebaugh earlier. And I mean, just listening to that, you know, speed could have been coming down a hill, as anyone who has ever visited Los Angeles knows. You know, there are a number of mountain ranges that the community, the neighborhoods are built within. I mean, some of the vistas in LA are just breathtaking. You know, whether it's Laurel Canyon or going up, you know, near where the Hollywood sign is, which I did a couple of years ago. It was quite a journey, I might add. I have to say I'm blessed never to have been in a serious automobile accident, but the idea of a car flipping over and over again, I mean, you see that during, you know, at a NASCAR race, but the idea of somebody can come out of a car like that is just extraordinary. And thank goodness he did. Let's get back to the calls here. And Daniel is up next in Kentucky. Hello, Daniel. Good afternoon.
Hey, how you doing?
We're doing well. Thank you for the call.
Listen, I understand that Kentucky and Texas A&M is not playing tonight.
That is correct, Daniel.
Okay. I'd like to ask you another question, please. At the beginning of the season, they had South Carolina and Kentucky game. They didn't play that game either. Will they be playing the South Carolina game and the Texas A&M game sometime this season?
Yeah, Daniel.
Other than the tournament?
The reason why the game did not play today, Texas A&M had another positive case, so they had to postpone. There is an issue now. We're running out of time. I do know this, that Kentucky specifically and other schools are looking to make up games. It's hard to make up an SEC game because – you have games every Tuesday and Wednesday, and then on Saturday. It's not like anyone has buys at this point. So I know if there is an availability, the league is allowing schools like Kentucky and others to add games, but I don't think those games can be made up. I may be mistaken on that, but I'm not positive. But they're going to try to get some more games to help their standing. We're up against a break here. We will update you on Tiger in the final hour. We'll also revisit our conversation with two legends, and we hope that everyone can hear them this time, two legends from the University of Florida, and we are coming right back. We hope you'll stick around.